Hey, you want that to go?
I'm Lynn Scherer in for Celeste Headlee today. And ever since the financial crisis began, there's been lots of talk about financial reform. Well, later today, Connecticut Democratic Senator Christopher Dodd, in his role as chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, unveils a new and broad financial overhaul bill. You might think everyone would welcome this latest attempt at reform. You would be wrong. Joining us to map out its path is our friend Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So, what's in the bill? What do we expect to see out of this? And give us the layout.
So it's been broadly telegraphed. Of course, we don't know. The bill won't be released until 2 p.m. today. But if you were on Twitter last night, you would have seen the press secretary for the Senate Banking Committee on there tweeting that they were on track. What I think is notable is what's not in this bill. If you remember, in January, President Obama came out with a very dramatic proposal where he would separate proprietary trading. He would not let banks do this kind of risky trading or own hedge funds. That's not in this bill. Also not in this
Why?
Bill.
Why is it not in the bill?
Well, Dodd will do an interview today. I think that'll be a top question for him. Some people have said it's perhaps the reason is because it would be too divisive. It might not pass. And it was proposed by the president very late. The other thing the president has proposed since last summer that's not in this bill is an independent agency for consumer protection. This bill is expected to put the Consumer Protection Agency inside the Federal Reserve.
And how is the Fed going to be taking this?
Well, the Fed is getting an increase and a decrease in its powers in different aspects of this bill. So getting consumer protection is certainly a win for them. Consumer advocates are very skeptical because, you know, the Fed did not fully protect consumers during the run-up in the housing bubble, so people are skeptical. The Fed will be losing some of its regulatory power over smaller bank holding companies. The other thing that is supposed to be in this bill is the New York Fed, which is very close to Wall Street, is going to be separated a bit from the banks, and there won't be able to be bank executives on the board of the New York Fed. That's a very big change for them. So the Fed kind of is a mixed bag. It gains some powers, loses some. The consumer protection one is controversial.
And how do the consumers do out of all this?
Again, it will depend on whether the Fed really steps up and uses the greater resources it gets to watch out for them. And the problem is the Fed will have a dual rule. One, on the one hand, the Fed will have to make sure banks are safe and sound. But on the other hand, they'll have to make sure that consumers are not being ripped off. Mm-hmm. And those two roles can come into conflict. Sometimes you want protection for consumers that costs money to banks and hurts their profits and might eat away at their capital levels. So that's the conflict.
You know, in some sense, this is about Dodd, too. Is he a captive of the industry that he's overseen
for
so long?
Right.
Or is this his kind of populist last stand and it's going to really test his power in the Senate?
This is his moment to show whether he, you know, stands up for the people and for consumer protection or whether he's a lot closer to Wall Street.
I realize you don't know the specifics of the bill at this point, Louise, but from what you know and from the mood in Congress, will what the senator wants pass?
So he's moving ahead without Republicans. They had tried to reach an agreement, and he just threw it out the door last week and said, I'm going ahead without them. But they've got 60 legislative days or so. And what Democrats are saying is that there's some Republicans who will probably swing over and support this. It looks like it might even have a better chance than health care in some people's view of getting Republican support. So we'll have to see.
And you said 2 o'clock it's being released?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be watching.
Stay tuned.
Okay. John?
Our other big story, of course, sports. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is here, takeaway sports contributor. The brackets are set. The four top seeds are clear. Kansas, actually some friends from Kansas actually visited me yesterday and they brought little kid KU shirts for all our kids to wear. Kansas is the number one seed. Who are the other three?
I don't know if America's ready, first of all, but for what's going to happen this year. Syracuse is in the number one
right.
seed.
Not a surprise.
Duke is in the number one seed.
Not a surprise.
And who's the last?
Kentucky.
Kentucky, correct. Yeah. Well, that's not a surprise at all because Kentucky is actually one of my favorites to get to the Final Four without a doubt. This is a really tough year, and the reason why I said I don't know if America is ready is because this has been a topsy-turvy year, particularly at the top of the bracket. The top 10 teams have been switching in and out, but in that topsy-turvy, it's been consistent. So what you're going to see is a lot of the bubble teams and the teams that just got in they don't have the same level of talent. You're not going to see as many upsets this year, but you'll see some of these top teams that have been doing this dance at the top get to the finals.
Is that because of the way they manipulated the brackets? In other words, is the selection process all about preventing upsets or what?
If you're Kansas, then you're you're angry about the way the bracket's been set up because you have the most treacherous road, but you have the best, you have the longest run at number one all season and the number one seed overall. If you're Duke and if you're one of these people that loves to hate Duke, then you're going to really hate Duke this year because they're the worst number one seed, but they have the easiest road to the finals. So there is some magic and some trickery with the brackets.
So who's the Butler University this year? Who's the dark horse, the strange talent? Does Gonzaga have a chance? Does Xavier have a chance?
You know, right now I like Cornell, and I'll explain why. They have the best three-point percentage in the country, and they have this guy, Jason Witten, who has played really good against top talent. He scored 24 against Kansas earlier this year. And I like Cornell to do some upsets early on. Siena's another one that's primed to get some upsets, and same with Marquette.
Now, last night at the supermarket, across the fish counter, they were having a heated argument, Syracuse versus Kansas. And the guy who was handling the tuna was saying that Kansas all the way, you can't stop Kansas. There's no way to stop Kansas. And the other guys in the fish were saying, I'm with Syracuse, but they're a heartbreaker.
Syracuse is a heartbreaker. I love Syracuse. So is Rhode Island, who didn't get in, and they broke my heart by not getting in.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at teams that come in on a roll, that's what you look for. If they came in on a roll, they came in on a win streak, those are the teams that I would go for and that would predict.
And Kansas has
come in on a roll.
And if you take the last part of the season, Syracuse is that way, although they have some injuries to worry about.
Syracuse is going to have a difficult role. Their center, Onowaku, he is not healthy, and I would not pick Syracuse if he's not healthy.
All right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Stay with us. What's on the agenda this week? Coming up, healthcare reform, the 7th anniversary of the Iraq War, Hillary Clinton's trip to Russia, and what's going on down on the border, the deaths over the weekend in Juarez, in just a few minutes.